sermon here at Forest Hills, Pastor David and I sort of talked about preaching by way of my testimony. I'm going to lower this just a little bit. So you're going to hear a little bit more about myself as well as about the Word of God. So it'll be good. It'll be good. As if you don't know, my name is Andrew. I am currently serving as the Director of Children's Ministries here at Forest Hills, and I was hired on this last summer. And while I was methodically interviewing for my position, I say methodically because I had three interviews, so you all really live up to your name, Methodist. And while I was going through that process, the team asked me to summarize my walk with God, my faith journey. And so it's kind of a hard thing to do, but I sat down and thought about it, and I decided that my life is one of preparation. That God is, looking back, I can see that God has been preparing me. Well, preparing me for what? That's a good question. And I hope to answer that question this morning. But before I do that, I want to just stop for a minute and invite you all to join with me in asking the question, asking, what is God preparing us to do? So just like I do with the kids sometimes, you can repeat after me. What is God preparing us to do? That's very good. Now turn to the person next to you and say, what is God preparing us to do? All right, turn to the person on your other side. What is God preparing us to do? Good. I always hate when the preacher asks people to do that, because what if you're on the aisle? Who are you going to, you know, there's no sitting next to you, you just kind of look silly, so it's fun for us to watch. But now that that question is ingrained in our heads, what is God preparing us to do? I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. I'm just going to read through the whole chunk here, and then we'll pick it apart this morning during the sermon. So, but here we go, Ephesians 4, starting at 11. It was he who gave, he being Jesus, he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets. I'm sorry, I think we, if one more click, we should have the text up for you to read too. There you go. Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. All right, so that's a long section that we're going to be talking about this morning. And so if we go to my story, it's pretty simple. I grew up in church. I was a good kid. My mom is here this morning, so maybe she can tell you differently. But I stayed out of trouble, basically. I really have very little drama to share with you this morning. So, you know, I knew my Bible stories, and I tried to follow God. But that we all come to a point of decision, don't we? A place where we have to make our faith our own. And I can't ride all the way to heaven on the coattails of my mom and dad's faith. You know, we call that a hand-me-down religion. And hand-me-down religion, that doesn't cut it, right? I could go through all the actions and have perfect church attendance. But the question is, where is my heart in the matter, right? Where is my heart in all of that? Well, it was the summer before my freshman year of high school, during the worship portion of a Saturday night church service that we were attending at the time, and God reached out to me. And I don't have a great way to describe it. It's just that simple. God reached out to me. So here I was, a good Christian kid, trying to subsist off the crusts of my parents' faith, when God just instantly filled me full. And he revealed himself to me. That's probably the best way to put it. He just revealed himself to me. And so all these things that I had learned and memorized and, you know, all these stories that I learned from the Bible, I realized that they were true. And I knew then and there that I would never be able to lose my faith because God was real. And so it was like I no longer believed in God. I knew God. I knew him. And so that moment began a season of preparation. So, you know, high school started up, and by the time of my junior year, I knew that I ought to be in ministry. I felt called into serving in that way, and so I got involved with the youth ministry, and I made plans to attend Bible college. And so years later, I stand here today, God is still preparing me for my role as a minister. And I want to make that point very clear. Our God is a God of on-the-job training. Our God is a God of on-the-job training. You know, I've never had a role in ministry for which I felt that I was completely prepared for. And that maybe I should have shared with my interview team. But it's not about being completely prepared, about having all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. It's about being open. Am I going to be open to what God has to teach me next? Am I going to be open to that training on the job? So on-the-job training, it keeps you humble. It keeps you kind of connected to reality because, you know, it's hard to walk around with a big head if you don't know what you're doing, right? If you're still in training. And that's the way it is. We're all still in training. We're all still being prepared for the work that God has for us. I want to take a look here quick at Jesus' disciples. Let's check out their resume. Okay, we have a fisherman, a tax collector, a zealot thrown in there, a guy who wants to, you know, overtake Rome by force. Fisherman, you get the picture. It's not exactly the background we're looking for in church work, is it? But I look at the other end of the spectrum. Those who were well prepared, those who did have all the information, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Well, what happened to them? Most of them, anyway, fell underneath judgment. They fell under a kind of a harsh critique from Jesus because they failed to do their job. They failed to keep in mind this question, what is God preparing us to do? And so they weren't able to really complete the task given to them. And so Jesus hires on these grossly underqualified fishermen, and he uses them to establish his kingdom in this world. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I know that you are sitting here this morning and you have gifts from God and you have passions for something, and in the mixture of all that is a hesitancy to employ your gifts and passions, to put them to use. And I know that because I'm there with you. I'm hesitant to get involved in something. I'm hesitant to commit. And why is that? Well, one of the reasons is maybe we feel unprepared. And that's part of what we're talking about here today, that I am here, and Julie is here, and Pastor David is usually here. But we're here to help prepare you to do works of service. And that's what it says here in verse 11. I'll read 11 and 12. Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's what we're here for. And I want to tell you, feeling adequately prepared and being prepared are two very different things. I mean, very rarely do we feel 100% prepared for some of the things that we have to do in life. We just don't feel ready. But we have to remember, God is a God of on-the-job training. That's where he works. And so our challenge is to get up anyway. Our challenge is to get up and put our gifts to use anyway, because God is preparing us for service. He's preparing us to serve. So if you think about it, the greatest servant we will ever know is Jesus Christ, right? C.S. Lewis writes in his book, Mere Christianity, he says that every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. And that's why we profess Christ, because we want to be like him. He is our head. And Paul writes really the same thing. He says that we ought to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And this is where we look in verse 13. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's all of us. All of us are to attain that, and none of us have attained that. So that means we all have some work to do. You know, it's this idea of sanctification. And that just means a progressive process of becoming more like Jesus. And so, you know, we start off living life as we please, you know, following every wind of teaching. We start off as people living under sin. But then, when we have an encounter with Jesus, our lives change. Our lives change. We become discontent with living for ourselves. We begin to see life through the eyes of Scripture, and our days take on purpose. We begin to live with real meaning. And pretty soon we start to walk and talk and live and love and serve like Jesus did. Like Jesus did. This sanctification is a very important theme throughout the entire history of the church, throughout the entire New Testament. And especially for Methodists, I don't want to go into too much history, but John Wesley was kind of our founder. He started this Holiness Club. And the Holiness Club is all about trying to live like Jesus, becoming like Jesus, being sanctified. And people started making fun of this Holy Club. You know what they called them? Methodists. You live your life so methodically, trying to be like Jesus. And so it was a way they made fun of him. So the name stuck. That's kind of fun. But, you know, sanctification is hard work. And I would love to be able to say that I reflect Jesus perfectly every day. But in honesty, you know, some days are better than others. Some days it seems like the only way that I reflect Jesus is in my choice of haircut, or lack thereof. Sometimes. But sanctification is hard work. I mean, dying to yourself is nothing short of painful. That's the way it is. And the question then comes, well, why do it? Why do it? And the answer is, because it's worth it. Because it's worth it. We get to share in the glory of God when we are serving him. When we are becoming like Jesus, we are entering into what it means to be Christian. What it means to live life. And so we can thank God that he sends his Spirit, and the Spirit helps prepare us to be like Jesus. So, back to me. I grew up middle class home, suburban kid, good health, decent friends. You know, my life was good. My life was easy. And sometimes the easy route is not always what is best for us. So the next answer to our question of what is God preparing us to do is sort of a trick answer. And that is, God is preparing us for more preparation. That's kind of a weird answer, but God is preparing us for more preparation, and I call it growth. Growth. If we want to reach another level of intimacy in our relationship with God, we need to grow. And a lot of times growth involves pain. And it's in those growing pains where God is able to meet with us. And it's in those wounds where he binds us. So growth is a hard thing. It's also a very good thing. Many of you know my two older children are from my first marriage, which means that I have been divorced, and divorce is a very common thing these days. I mean, everybody is touched by it, and sometimes it kind of gets marginalized because it's also common, and, you know, we all know somebody's been divorced. Maybe we ourselves have been divorced. There's always somebody we know touched by it, and So I kind of want to bring it out of the margins and just say, for me, it was one of the hardest and most painful things that I've ever had to go through. And, you know, after all, how can you separate what God has brought together? The answer is you can't. You can't. You have to rip and pull and tear and yank apart what God has brought together. And I realize that, you know, even though my divorce occurred years ago, it still has effects on my life today. In fact, my older two children are not here this morning because they are with their mother. And so it affects my life, but it certainly affects their life forever. You know, I realize it takes two people to be married. As much as one person wants to be married, it doesn't work that way. And when it was made clear to me that my ex-wife did not want to be married anymore, I just remember feeling just emptied out, just hollow inside. You know, the rug was pulled out from under my life, and I was falling. And I had to decide, where was I going to land? Was I gonna fall into depression and maybe try to find solace in things, you know, in stuff, in substances maybe? Or was I going to fall into the arms of a faithful God who walks with me even in the darkest valley? And that's the better option. And that experience once again showed me the reality of a loving God who directly enters into our lives when we let him. The Bible says, when you seek me, you will find me. I'm a little older now, hopefully a little wiser, but I can say that I know God better than I did before. That's not to say that, you know, God ordained my divorce or that it was his will that I be divorced, because I would never say that, but it's to say that God meets us in our pain. He trains us on the job. And through that struggle and through that pain, I came out clinging to him for dear life. And you know, in order to do that, I by the grace of God, I was able to take my eyes off of myself, even for a moment, to realize that my hurt was nothing compared to what the hurt my children would have to bear. And their hurt is nothing compared to what Christ had to bear on the cross when he hung there for the sins of you and I. And that's the gospel message. We can have new life because of what Christ did for us, because of his pain and suffering. So all of our pain and suffering pales in comparison to what Jesus had to go through. So what is God preparing us to do? I'm going to read a little bit more here, verses 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. You know, our church has a nursery, but it's back there. That's the nursery. In here, we are not babies. I want to introduce you to my son, Silas. I have a picture of him here for you. You probably all have met him. There he is. Adorable. He's going to be a year old next month. And out of four kids, he's just the most challenging one yet. He's just tough sometimes. And he has this screech that can shred eardrums. And ever since he was born, and he knows how to employ this gifting whenever he wants things to go his way. And so here you have the smallest of children able to put an entire room of adults into an uproar as they scramble and desperately try to calm the tantrum that is being thrown. And so, you know, let's face it, babies are selfish. Babies are selfish. Babies want to be served. Now, mothers, you can keep your seats. I know when they come out as newborns, they are totally dependent on everything. You know, everybody has to meet their every need. And it's legitimate. But I think it doesn't take long for that need to become a want. And before you know it, You have a kid like Silas who wants what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it. And he makes his will very well known. The point is, we don't expect a baby to serve others. It just doesn't work like that. That would be silly. Babies don't serve others. And so, you know, maybe you're sitting here this morning, you find yourself reluctant to serve. You might assume that, well, maybe your help isn't needed. There's a lot of people here. They're doing the jobs, and so my help isn't needed. Maybe you think that you're too busy. And that's, obviously, we are all busy. We have full schedules, and we're probably plugged into too many things. But to say that one person is too busy and another person isn't, you know, we're all busy. But that's definitely an issue that we deal with, right? Maybe you feel you're not good enough. And since you're not good enough, you're not useful here at church. But God is calling us out of that thought process. He's calling us to grow up into Christ, who is our head. And that's where we want to end up at. That's where we want to be. We want to leave the excuses and grow up, right? At Forest Hills, there are almost a million ways to serve. We have our monthly community care ministry. We have weekly grow groups. We have prayer teams, worship, outreach, finance. That's a fun one. We have my favorite, Wednesday nights, Awana groups for kids and our Sunday morning kids church. You know, we have needs for people to be teachers for our kids, to teach them the Word of God, to show them who Jesus is. I mean, what a great honor for us. Even if we don't feel prepared, it's a great honor. And I think, you know, Wednesday nights in our Awana program, our kids are memorizing the Word of God, and they have verses to recite when they come. And what a great opportunity to be a listener. And that's someone who just comes in for 20, 30 minutes and listens to the kids do their memory verse. And so you get to encourage a child to memorize the Word of God, and I think that could very easily become the best part of your week, is helping kids with some memory work. So if that was a shameful plug, I don't know about it, but I don't know shame. So the point is, we have places for you. We have needs for you here in this church. So I think I missed a spot here. Yeah. Okay, so this morning we just sang a song, probably a new song to a lot of you, but it's called God of This City. And in that song we claim that there is no one like our God. And this unique and powerful God is preparing his church to do greater things. We're being prepared to serve. We're being prepared to become like Jesus, and we're being prepared to grow together. All of us have to grow, no matter how long we've been in the church, no matter how many years we've been a Christian, no matter how much service we've done, we're all being called to continue that path of growth. And no Christian stands alone. No Christian is an island, because we're all here in this body, joined together by the Spirit and called to do work together to see the greater things that God has prepared for us to do. So we're people who look toward the future. And we're people who sit on the edge of our seats because we cannot wait to see what God is going to do next. And we wait, but it's an active waiting, because God is calling us to work with him to bring about the greater things that are still to be done. God has a lot of plans for this church. He has a lot of plans for Forest Lake. And we would do well to get on board with those plans and be put to good use. Jesus says in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I always thought that was such a weird verse, because Jesus is saying we're going to do greater things than he did, and he's the Son of God. seems like what hope do we have to be able to accomplish anywhere near what Jesus accomplished? But he says, we will do even greater things than these. So I think what he's talking about is Jesus, the physical man Jesus, is no longer here anymore. He's with the Father in heaven. But Jesus embodied in the church is everywhere. The church is everywhere. And we will do greater things than Jesus ever did because we will do them together. By the power of the Spirit, we will become the body of Christ on this planet. Amen. Amen. And Paul cries out for our unity in our last verse, verse 16. Paul writes, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." As each part does its work. So we all have a role to play. We all have a job to do. And no one's exempt. No one's too young. No one's too old. No one's too prepared. We all have a job to do. And God is preparing us to serve. He's preparing us to become like Jesus. And he's preparing us to continue on a path of growth. Preparing us for more preparation. So let's pray. God, I thank you for each and every person sitting in this room. I thank you for the gifts you've given them, the passions that they have. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just move in our lives, that we would step into the service, Lord, where you would want us to serve. We are your people. We are here to become like Jesus. We thank you that that's even possible. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for eternal life that is given to us through the sacrifice of your Son. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just walk with us the rest of this day and the rest of this week. In your holy name we pray. Amen.